Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here today, isn't it? And it's great to have our visitors with us today. We're glad that you're here. And I hope that you'll stay and share some food with us afterwards so we can spend some time, get to know you a little bit better. We're going to venture into a study over the next few weeks concerning leadership. And in particular, we're going to look at two very important people from the Bible, two men by the name of Moses and Joshua. What I want us to do is to look at some events from the lives of these two men to see, you know, what are some of the things that we can learn from them? And how specifically can those things help us as we strive to be a church of excellence? And we strive to be a people of excellence for God. So this morning we're gonna start in looking at some early events in the life of Moses. And so, you know, the story that you probably remember from, you know, your childhood, in hearing the stories about baby Moses, you know, that the Pharaoh of Egypt was concerned about the growth of the Israelites as a people. They were becoming too numerous, and so the Egyptians thought, well, you know, we need to do something about this, or they're going to outgrow us and they're going to take over. So, you know, they not only put them into slavery, but Pharaoh had commanded that all of the male children that were born were to be thrown into the river and drowned. Well, you know, God had other plans. And so, you know, through God, Moses' mother, instead of, she technically, I mean, think about it, she did what Pharaoh said, you know. She threw him, put him in a river. She just put him in a basket before she put him in a river, right? Okay. But so she put him in a basket and put him in the river, and he floated down, and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Okay. And Pharaoh's daughter, you know, she got an Israelite woman to raise Moses, who happened to be Moses' mother. Okay. How much of this do you think God's hand was in? Okay, you see? And so Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, but he was raised by his mother and her influence, and so Moses grew to know who he was. Well, if you look in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 starts out, as a lot of stories do, with one day. Okay? One day in the life of Moses happened this way. He went out and he was there amongst his own people, the Israelites, and he saw an Egyptian slave driver mistreating a Hebrew. And he killed that Egyptian slave driver. But I want you to notice what it is, what it says here in this. He says, he saw the Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Verse 12, glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." And that's the point, that's the first point in our lesson here. What I did must have become known. Now, think about what's taking place here in Moses' life. He's, you know, he's royalty. But he kills this Egyptian. thinking that no one saw what he had done. He made an effort to look around and to make sure, but apparently somebody did see it. And Moses' reaction to what his fellow Hebrew says, what I did must have become known. You see, the reason that I want to point that out is because don't we oftentimes find ourselves in that same kind of situation? I mean, you know, let's be honest. You ever, you know, you're getting ready to do something that maybe you know you shouldn't do, and you kind of look around and anybody looking, and you go ahead and you do it anyway. And thinking that you got away with it, maybe somebody saw you, and maybe somebody says something. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that for me, the one who always sees it besides God is Satan. And Satan has a way of using those kinds of things that become known as a way to blackmail us and to hold us in bondage to him. And some of you are shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You say, and he uses that to agitate us and to cause us to fear. And that's what blackmailers do. They is to use something in our life that we have done, that we know we shouldn't have done, and to use that against us to hold us to them. And what he does further with those things is he tells us nobody has to know about this. Nobody can know. If anybody finds out about this, I'll never be able to face my family or my friends or my coworkers or the people in church or whoever it is. I'll never be able to face them again. You ever heard that? Yeah, I have. And the last thing that Satan wants us to do is to fess up. Because he knows that that's the only way that we're really going to be free from his blackmail, you see. And so he gives us this fear so often that we've got to make sure nobody finds out about this. And so we don't confess, we don't repent, we don't fess up, we don't make it right, we just try to hide. And that's what Moses did. If you keep reading in the text, it tells us that Pharaoh found out about it and he tried to kill Moses. And so Moses fled out into the desert. And he ended up in a place called Midian. And there we find Moses tending the flocks of Jethro. You see, what Moses did in fear, you know, he fled from the land of Egypt and he went out and he found a new life. That new life was completely different than what he was living back in Egypt. You know, in Egypt he was royalty, wasn't he? He was living in Pharaoh's house. And now he finds himself tending sheep for his father-in-law. He found him a wife, he had some children, he's raising a family, and he's living a completely different life. There tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, hiding from Pharaoh, living in this different life. But what we find is that God still had work for Moses to do. See? Moses thought he was safe from everything. I'm just gonna, you know, I can just imagine Moses' way of thinking here somewhere along the line in all this. Okay, I'm safe from Pharaoh. I'm far enough away. He's probably not gonna come at looking for me around here. I've got a nice job. I've got a nice wife, I got some kids, and so life is good. Isn't that what we all want? Yeah, life is good, right? And so we just kind of go on living our life as if nothing's happened. But you have to keep in mind, Moses was in hiding, wasn't he? You see, here's the point that I want you to think about with that. Perhaps maybe at times in your life, I know I have, I'm guilty, that you know I've done things that I shouldn't have done and then tried to hide and thought, well, you know, hey, I just kind of do this over here and I'm safe, kind of living this way and everybody's happy. But then there's still that guilt. There's still that blackmail that's going on. And as long as I'm in hiding, then I'm not really useful to God the way that He wants me to be. Moses had some things that he had to learn. It took him about 40 years to do that, by the way. He was 40 years old when he fled from Egypt. And he was 80 years old, 40 years later, when he encountered this strange sight that he saw there on the mountain, this bush that was on fire, that wasn't burning up. But God had something that He needed Moses to do. He had work for Moses to do. And even though Moses was in hiding and Moses had kind of settled down into this nice, peaceful, quiet life, taking care of sheep and raising a family, God had something that Moses was to do for him. And so God called upon Moses in the form of this burning bush. Let me ask you a question just to ponder and think about. Is there perhaps something that's gone on in your life that you're hiding, maybe even from God from? Is there something that's gone on in your life that you know that you shouldn't have done, but you did it and you fled in fear and you're kind of hiding in this, in some kind of peace and so forth that you've put together for yourself? It's not really peace at all. Could that possibly describe you, where you are today? God has work for you to do just like He did for Moses. Whatever it is that's gone on, and whatever it is that possibly Satan might be blackmailing you with and holding you in bondage to, you need to understand God's not finished with you yet. He's got work for you to do. And just like Moses, God wants you to do what God has for you to do. And Moses saw this bush that was on fire but wasn't being consumed, and so he went near to it to explore and to try to find out what was happening. And as Moses approached this burning bush, the Lord spoke to him out of this bush. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The place that you are standing on is holy ground. Why do you suppose God had that part of the narrative put in there? Into this story of Moses? Oh, well, you know, it introduces God to Moses and what's getting ready to happen and so forth. Yeah, but the holy ground part? God called a lot of people to do a lot of things, but Moses is the only one that He called like this and stressed these things to. Moses, take off your shoes. Because the place that you are standing is holy ground. You see, I think that God wanted Moses to understand something. God was getting ready to send Moses on, I think we can safely say, a very important mission. Do you agree with that? You see? I mean, you know, it's not every day that you go and free a nation of people from bondage and slavery. Okay? And so this was a pretty important task that God was getting ready to send Moses on. And I think that what God wanted Moses to know and understand is who he was. That is, who God was and who Moses was before God. Did he really understand who God was? That in the presence of Almighty God, you're standing on holy ground. Because of who he is. We need to know that also. We need to know that God has called each of us to his purpose in our lives. But before we can ever really be effective in doing what God has called us to do, we need to understand who we are and who God is and how important God's task really is. Now, I've never been called to work for God out of a burning bush, okay? That hasn't happened to me. I don't think it's going to. I don't expect it to. It could if God wanted to, okay? But nevertheless, God has called me to task for Him. He's called you. And whatever the task is, and they're all different, that God calls each of us to do His work, for Him. God wants us to know and understand who He is that we're about to work for. Because if you don't understand that and you don't really appreciate it, then you're not going to do what God has called you to do. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to look at Moses' excuses, okay? And we'll talk further about that part. But the point right now is for us to understand the importance for Moses to know who he is and who God is. And that when he's standing in the presence of God, he's standing on holy ground. And you and I are doing the same thing. God hasn't become less holy today than he was back in Moses' day. Do you agree with that? Okay, he's still the same God. He is just as holy. And so, because Moses was in his presence, Moses was on holy ground. Guess where you and I are today? Yeah, we're on holy ground because we're in the presence of Almighty God. We come together like this on the first day of the week to gather on holy ground to worship God. And to acknowledge His sovereignty in our lives. And to dedicate ourselves to His work, the task that He has set before us as His people. And unless and until we understand who God really is, that He is a holy God, and that He calls us to work for Him, we're never really going to do what God wants us to do. In the excellence that God calls us to do it. So there's an important lesson that we can learn here from Moses and from this encounter that he has, from fleeing in fear out of Egypt, out of royalty, into hiding, and finding himself content in this other life, and yet realizing God's not finished with us yet. That God has work for us to do. And He calls us to do His work. But we're never going to do that work the way that it needs to be done unless and until we recognize God's sovereignty in our lives and that God is a holy God. And in His presence, we are standing on holy ground. You got your shoes still on this morning? I mean, spiritually speaking, you recognize that you're on holy ground before God. That God is calling you to excellence in His presence. purpose and His task. What will your answer be to God? Moses hid his face in fear. How will you respond to God as He's calling you? We have two songs in our songbook that express this very sentiment. We're standing on holy ground. And I wanted to use those two songs this morning as a way to end this lesson and to really charge us up from the standpoint of saying that we need to acknowledge and recognize that that's where we're standing this morning. And to use it also as an opportunity for anyone that maybe you find yourself that you've been fleeing in fear for something that you've done that you hope nobody will ever find out, but realizing that God already knows, and so why keep hiding it? Let's give it to the Lord. Ask for His forgiveness and be free. If that's what you need to do this morning, don't let Satan hold you in bondage with his blackmail. There's something else that you need in your life to help you as you stand on holy ground to acknowledge God and His sovereignty in your life. And it's a great opportunity to do that. And so I want to use these two songs for those two purposes, to help us to really focus on God's sovereignty and the fact that we're standing on holy ground. And if you need to respond to God's invitation, if you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one, to recognize God's holiness in your life and to repent of the sin in your life and confess Christ as your Lord and Savior and have your sins washed away in baptism, you can do that right now, this morning.